Hi guys, welcome to the Pole Dance Podcast. I am very excited today to be talking with the famous Lisa D from Melbourne, Victoria. Lisa, you've got quite a history with pole theatre. How many pole theatres have you been involved in now?
Hello, yes, I do. I've been involved in it is six or seven.
It's hard to keep track, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the years, they're flying by.
So you've done, how many pole theatres have you been involved in as a competitor?
As a competitor, there were two. There was the 2015 art division, which I was fortunate enough to win that division. And
that was in Sydney.
That was in Sydney. And yep. The 2017 comedy division, also in Sydney. And I was fortunate enough to win that division that time as well. That was lovely.
So you've got a 100% success rate so far.
Yeah.
So are you like slowly making your way through each category? Will we get to see Lisa in classic in drama anytime soon?
I have literally been considering it ever since you created the competition.
I would love to see you in classic.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Oh.
Is there pressure though to maintain the 100% success rate?
Oh, well, you're there. Yes. Yes, but I mean, we all know with competitive polers, some of us like me are like, oh, it doesn't matter if I win. It only matters if I do my best show on stage, but it kind of does matter to us if we win. It matters.
It's very exciting when you have a big win on stage.
It is so exciting. But honestly, actually to do a show where you come off stage and you think, yes, I nailed that. That couldn't have gone better. That was exactly how I wanted it. That is the most important thing.
And it's actually a lot harder to do than to win a title. I've seen so many people come off stage literally crying.
Yep.
Because they're so disappointed in themselves, but then they go on to win, but still they're not happy because they didn't do the show of their dreams. I think we're forever chasing the show of our dreams.
We are. We really are, because we're, you know, we're artists and performers. It's that feeling of bringing something completely to life exactly as you wanted it that we're really chasing.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Now, you are quite well known for your diversity, but I think when we're talking about Lisa D, probably more people would associate you with a pole art style of performance. So when you decided to enter pole comedy, that was a bit of a departure from what we're used to seeing from you.
Mm-mm.
What made you decide to do pole comedy, and how did that process go for you? Were you nervous about stepping on stage in a different, you know, to present a different facet of Lisa D, the performer?
Well, God, you're talking me up so much. I better say something insightful.
Please do.
got nothing. No. I haven't done a lot of comedy. I did my first comedy piece in 2012 for the Australian Pole Championships with Day of the Dead. And that did quite well, and it got me second place. And prior to that, I had done a bit of stand-up comedy, and I'd also done a little bit of emceeing at that point as well. So I was used to being on stage in a comedic context.
And being laughed at on stage, which is often people's worst nightmare.
No, it's fine. And hoping to be laughed at. I mean, if you're doing stand-up, you're really like, please laugh, or this is not going well. But I was less used to combining it with actual pole performance. So the comedy show in 2017, Pole Theatre Sydney, was only the second pole comedy show I'd ever done, or third, because I had put Freddie onto stage before in a smaller, less complete version. And I was unbelievably nervous, because you don't know until you get in front of any given audience if it's even funny, or if that audience is even gonna think it's funny. You know,
especially because the humor that you did in that particular show was quite subtle, and it was quite nuanced, and it worked really, really well. But it was quirky, which is you really as a performer. So I can imagine that you would have been nervous. Are people going to be picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes, I was, and I was really, really thinking. And no one had told me the show was funny before I put it on stage. I'd showed it to numerous people at my home studio, and they all kind of went, And but
well,
I
sometimes
like,
it's not funny until it gets to stage.
I know, but I felt inside, I was like, no, it's funny. These jokes are funny. I think they're funny, but no one else was giving two shits about it.
So. It's interesting because I think a lot of the time people think of pole comedy as kind of the category, you know, it's not as revered as art or drama and doesn't have as many kind of obsessive devotees as as classique. But pole comedy is really an art form because to be able to, you know, carry off all your pole tricks and perform a comedy routine properly, it's very, very difficult. And I think it doesn't, you know, sometimes I think people really underestimate how difficult it is to successfully pull off a really good comedy routine. It's one of my favorite categories because when it's done well, it's amazing to watch. It's so entertaining.
It's one of my favorites as well. I think people underestimate how difficult it is to be funny in general. That's why I feel like that's part of the reason that really great comedians are really, really fantastic comedians are really well known and they are revered a little bit because it's not easy to be actually funny and not funny in your living room and not funny for your friends but funny for an audience of strangers. It's really difficult. And you know, it's when I used to sometimes do stand-up, I had a couple of really great bombs where, well, they're not great at the time, where I'd be doing my bits and no one was doing anything, and it's just agony. It's agony to stand up there and bomb. It's very, very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, the anxiety of worrying about bombing on stage at Pole Theatre. But you didn't.
No, I didn't. Yeah, hooray.
Hooray for that. So you had a very successful career as a competitor in Pole Theatre, but you've also judged as well. So you do live judging at actual events, Pole Theatre events around the world, and you also judge videos. How does that change? So for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about here, with the video entries, competitors from all around the world submit their videos to enter Pole Theatre in their country, and those videos get sent to a team of judges that are qualified under the Pole Theatre judging standards, and they get sent off all around the world. The videos get judged and the finalists get announced that way. And Lisa is one of our qualified Pole Theatre judges. So how has that changed your insight into kind of the process of creating a Pole Theatre piece when you're sitting on the other side of the stage?
Well, one of the things it does is it gives you a real intimacy with the criteria. But it's not an intimacy that anyone couldn't achieve, because all it really is that you spend a lot of time thinking about the criteria and the finer points of the criteria. So that's actually really interesting. Yeah, just getting so close to the criteria and basically reading it over and over again and considering its finer points.
Does it change your perspective on how to put together, because you would have watched so many Pole Theatre shows now. So can you give some insight into what you think goes into a well-planned Pole Theatre piece? Like what kind of things excite you as a judge when you're watching a Pole Theatre show?
The kind of things that excite me personally as a judge for Pole Theatre pieces is a really great cohesiveness between theme and concept, execution, and how that theme and concept flows into or through every element that's presented on stage. That's what excites me the most, when someone has a great theme and concept, but not only a great theme and concept, a great theme and concept that flows into every moment. So when they are on the pole, when they are off the pole, when they're dancing or using the stage space, when they are utilizing their costume, when there is amazing cohesion present, that's what excites me a lot.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I think it's really magical when you have a competitor who's come up with a great character and a great concept, and then they fully inhabit that on stage and bring it to life.
Amazing.
Because I think when you're a competitor, it's very tempting to just want to throw into your performance a string of all the latest and greatest tricks. But if you can resist that urge and build your performance based around your character and your concept, then that's kind of where the magic happens.
It is where the magic happens. And I think a lot of competitors, maybe, of course, they read the criteria, but maybe they don't realize that the tricks are actually equally rated with everything else.
Yeah.
So it's not about, well, I need to stuff in a million points worth of tricks. And then everything else can just, you know, oh, yes, and I also have a character and I also this and that. No, they are they are equally as important as one another. They have to be, they have to have cohesion. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a performance-based competition at the end of the day. That's true.
Yeah.
So when you've judged in Sydney and you've judged in Japan, haven't you? Have you judged in any other countries or just Japan and Sydney?
Sydney and Japan, yep.
What's it like? Because you've done Japan twice now, haven't you?
Yep.
What differences do you notice between, say, Japanese pole dancers and Australian pole dancers at pole theatres?
The legitimately, and I say this 100% truthfully, the Japanese pole theatres have been my favourite ever competition.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. Let's say I've got four favourite comps that I've ever seen live in the flesh, and the two Japanese pole theatres were two of those. They were just so great.
Yeah, I remember judging Pole Theatre Japan with you and just being blown away by what we saw on stage. And every year in Sydney, I'm blown away by the talent and the creativity. But Japan, it's got that, it's
creative.
Something else, isn't it?
Mm. Absolutely creative. And I don't know how to speak about it. Like, there is some kind of cultural lens through which creativity is viewed or accepted or encouraged that is just, it's so full and so wild and so exciting over there in what I was seeing on stage in pole theater. I was blown away.
Yeah. And it's, they tackle big shows as well. Like, some of the shows will be very, very big concepts and you're like, wow, that, I mean, I remember seeing a Little Mermaid one where the entire cast of the Little Mermaid was on stage and it was phenomenal.
Yep.
It was almost like Disney opera comedy. It was phenomenal.
Yep.
But then I remember seeing another performance where I think the competitor was a jellyfish.
Yes.
And that was it. But it was so beautiful to watch.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah.
I've never forgotten it. I have an image from that show stuck in my mind and it will never, ever go.
Yeah. So many special moments from Pole Theatre Japan.
I really loved the, and there was a show on, a woman put on a comedy show and the theme was running late to work.
And it was hilarious. I remember
it was just
that one
great.
Too. It's interesting though, traveling around the world to see how the different nationalities and the different cultures play out. You can feel the influence and you can see the influence of the culture or the country of origin on the performances. And I find that very, very interesting to see as well. It's not just Japan versus Australia versus, but all of the other countries where there are pole theatres. They've got a very, very strong regional flavor, which I love. You could almost travel the world going to pole theaters and as a pole theater tourist.
Oh my God, there's a PhD in there, you know. There's a PhD in that. I want to know, tell me, what is Australia's flavor? Since you've seen so many different regions performing in pole theater, what's Australia's flavor?
You're interviewing me now. I love it.
Just a little bit. I'm curious.
I think Australia does pole comedy very well, and it's it's very out there. A lot of the time, pole comedy in other countries can be a bit more slapstick or a bit more polite, but Australia is not afraid to kind of really, really get out there. And I think, you know, we've seen some hilarious performances on stage, one by Carly Hunter from a couple of years back. And that was just, you had to see it to believe it. We'll be interviewing her coming up shortly as well. But definitely in Australia, you know, we do big shows in Australia. Australia's good at putting together pole theatre shows. I think Australia ranks very, very high. But every country really kind of just takes the ball and runs with it. So everywhere I've been in the world, I can't believe when you give people a competition that kind of lets them run wild with their imaginations, they really do run wild.
That's amazing.
That's wonderful. Yeah, but back to interviewing you, Lisa. I wanted to ask you finally as well, what is it that you love about pole theatre, either as a competitor or a judge or an audience member, or just what is it that you love particularly about pole theatre?
It's just, it's such an easy answer, really. It's just creativity, scope and creativity. So the scope, you know, the scope can be, well, each division has its rules, which means that there are limitations. However, you have such a wide scope for creativity with pole theatre. It's as simple as that. That's what I love about it. You can, whatever idea you have, find a way to bring it to life through one of the pole theatre divisions. That's it. That's my favourite thing about it. You can do anything you want, basically. Yeah. You will find a place for it in pole theatre.
And an audience for it as
and
well.
And an audience. Yeah, that's what I love about it.
A cheering, screaming audience.
Yep.
Any plans for you to do any more Pol Theatres as a competitor? Would you go overseas or would you stick to Pol Theatre Sydney?
I'm always, because I think something about, you know, the pole dancers where we say no more comps for me, but always at the back of my mind, I'm like, well, maybe. And that's it. That's what it is for me. I'm like, no more comps for me. And then the other voice, maybe.
I think I'm gunning for Lisa D in Pole Classique.
I have considered going overseas for a Classique competition. Literally, I have been considering that for about 2 years now. So the answer is
wait with like, bated breath.
The answer is always a maybe. God, why do I do this to myself? I can't stop in some ways.
No. Well, I mean that's what keeps the fire alive, isn't it? Yep. Yeah, we do what we love.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for making the time to talk to me today about Pole Theatre, and very excited to have you as a judge for Pole Theatre Sydney on the 28th of September this year. Mm. And if you guys are planning on coming along to Pole Theatre, you'll get to see Lisa D judging, and she's also doing workshops at Pole Dance Academy. So make sure that you jump onto the website www.poletheatresydney.com and you can get your tickets to Pole Theatre, and you can also book in for Lisa's workshops because you're doing some exotic choreo workshops, I think, Lisa?
I'm doing basically a fun advanced tricks. It's kind of at the advanced level, not the elite level necessarily. It's fun advanced tricks and an exotic Russian exotic choreo.
All right. Well, if there's any spaces left over in those workshops, I'm going to jump in.
Oh, amazing.
Thank you so much for talking to me today, Lisa. And I'm excited to see you on the 28th of September at Pole Theatre Sydney.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be coming to Sydney. Woo!
See you then.
See
you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Pole Dance Podcast produced by Pole Dance Academy. We hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe and share. Happy pole dancing.